Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, welcome to another live in-studio performance in the series we call the Soundcheck Podcast. Streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, I'm John Schaefer. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble earned its reputation the old-fashioned way. They earned it by playing live on the streets in their native Chicago and then here in New York, but also playing on some of the world's biggest stages, from Coachella to Carnegie Hall. At the heart of the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble are seven brass players. They're all brothers, and they've collaborated with everyone from Snoop Dogg to Damon Albarn to their father, the late jazz great Phil Karan. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble has pretty well filled our studio today, and they're going to start us off with a live performance of a piece called Menage.
We'll be right back.
That is the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble live here in our new sound studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, and a live performance of a piece called Menage. So it's a 7-piece brass band and a 3-piece rhythm section filling the studio. I'll introduce you to the full band momentarily, but first, Huda is one of the 4 trumpeters in the ensemble. When that song starts, there's like one big chord that just kind of announces the brass section. That's really well done. Who wrote that piece?
It's a collective of a few of us. The brother Clef started the song. We was in the studio one day just writing music, and we started collaborating. I think he did a lot of the lower parts, and I did like the trumpet parts with help from Yosin Smooth.
So is that how composition in this band generally works? Is a bunch of you just kind of working stuff out?
Yeah, we have a few ways that we do it. One of them is a bunch of debating. Another way is someone takes their time and writes the music, and hopefully that everybody likes the song, and they present it, and we agree on it, probably hypnoticize it a little bit, change it.
Now, what does that mean?
Hypnoticize it is when, like, We might have heard you say you wrote it this way, but the way we felt it is this way. So it's hypnoticized. Like, one of the things that our music, it has to have something that we all agree. Mm. You know, if we all agree on the song, then you guys hear the song.
Now, I am also from a big family.
Uh-huh.
I have 8 brothers and sisters.
Okay.
And getting all of us to agree on anything is a fool's errand.
Yeah, pretty much take
hours. Do you have any music at all?
Well, I mean, luckily we've been blessed to come from a musical family. Our father and our mothers used to, you know, drill it in us from a young age. So by the time we became adults, and once we started writing our own music, then we found a new love for music.
Well, now that's very interesting you should say that, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys is, Phil Caron, your dad, you know, known for playing in some of the most formative records of Sun Ra's career with the orchestra, helping to found AACM out in Chicago, which is still going strong. When you grow up where music is kind of like an expected part of your daily routine, how do you then kind of find a way of falling in love with something that has, you know...
Well, like I said, like it, you see people with children, and then it's one thing to have your own child. Like, we played our parents' or our father's music all our life, and, you know, that was work. But once we start writing our own music, then it's like you have a different enthusiasm for presenting your music.
We never really wanted to play our father's music anyway.
Yeah.
Because we was from the 80s, the hip-hop generation.
Right, right.
We wanted to do something hip-hop. So even, you know, like 91 with the Phil Caron Youth Ensemble, he let us create our own music at a very young age. So by the time we got old enough to really present our music to people, I mean, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. So I could do this, but Huda, why don't you introduce your brothers and the rest of the band for the folks who are watching?
Okay, so here on my left is Tariq, a.k.a. Smooth. Next is Jafar, a.k.a. Yosh. Mm-hmm. Next to him is Amar, a.k.a. Baji. Next to him is Saif, a.k.a. Sid. Saber, a.k.a. Clef.
Whom we just heard from.
And Atama, a.k.a. Rocco. We have Kevin Vo-Era over there. And then we have Hash
on guitar,
on the bass, and Jack Carter on the drums.
All right.
I myself is Huda.
Right. A.k.a. Gabriel.
A.k.a. Gabriel.
Gabriel. Okay.
Yes. The original pronunciation in the Eastern cultures, A's is A.
Okay.
So Gabriel.
So lots of family names that have that kind of Eastern.
Yeah, see, our father was an astronomer, so a lot of us have, like, Saif is one of the stars in the constellation Orion. Mm-hmm. He put a lot of thought and prayer and energy into naming us. He wanted us to have names with power and meaning.
Right. And he was associated with that kind of spiritual jazz.
Absolutely. He was part of the board at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago for many years. Absolutely. Definitely part of the African Skies exhibit that went on from the 90s into the 2000s.
He scored the African Skies presentation at the Adler Planetarium in the early 90s. He's also the lead trumpet for Sun Ra. in late 50s, early 1960s.
Right, on some of those classic Angels and Demons.
Fate and the Pleasant Moon.
Right, yeah, all that stuff. So there's the spiritual side of jazz, and then there's the kind of dance, which is spirited, and you guys seem to have roots
our father,
in both.
Our father taught us music has three components, sound, rhythm, and form. We named one of our albums Sound, Rhythm, and Form basically off of that. Most people say music is a universal language, but then we get caught into like what genre. Like hypnotic, we're not genre restricted. We like to just let the spirit or just the energy of the music write itself, and it comes out however it comes.
So that piece Menage, it just needed to take a quick detour to Jamaica at some point then.
Absolutely.
There hasn't been a full-length record for, you know, a year and a half or so from you guys, but you've been busy. I mean, there's a new song out called Motivation that you did with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah.
Was that specifically done for ESPN?
So the way that happened was there's a producer called Ben Billions. He has been a fan of ours for some years, and he gave the song to Snoop a few years ago, and Snoop finally got around to recording it, and
he finally got motivated.
The song is actually a sample of our song Navigator off of our Fly album. So he just took the track, you know, did his producer thing to it and gave it to Snoop. And then they called us after they had already started talking to ESPN about the license situation.
Okay. But you guys didn't have to, like, go back in and recut your parts or anything like that.
No.
It's not the first kind of high visibility that the band has had, because in The Hunger Games, the song you're going to do next appears.
War, yes.
What was that like?
You know, it was funny. So we were in Ireland.
They didn't give us nothing for part one, man.
We was in Ireland, and we was doing some concerts with Damon Albarn. Flea was on tour from the Red Hot Chili Peppers with us, and he was telling us about Woody Harrelson.
Uh-huh.
And he plays chess with Woody Harrelson all the time. Woody Harrelson would like us. And we was like, yeah, we like Woody from Cheers and all the movies that he's done, Natural Born Killers. And,
right.
You know, so we get the call. I personally hadn't read the books or anything. But because he was in the movie, he was like, yeah, let's go ahead and give it a try, not knowing that it was the blockbuster success that it was going to be. And this was like 2 weeks before they had released it. So they had us in mind before they called us and wrote the score and had the movie complete. So we could have backed out of it, and then they would have had to find something else to put there. But luckily we didn't. Luckily Woody Harrelson was in the movie, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. So let's hear a performance of the song, which does appear in The Hunger Games. And this is a live version of it from the band that wrote it, the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble.
We'll be right back.
That's the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble live here in our studio, and a song called War. It appeared in the Hunger Games, but first was a song from one of the albums by the band. Four trumpets, two trombones. Rocco, you play an instrument called the baritone horn. That's a quote-unquote band instrument, right?
Yeah, it's more of a marching baritone. But euphonium is like a concert instrument too, so it's different types of baritones.
Right, but a euphonium would be bigger, you know? Right?
Yeah, it still produces the same sound, but it's kind of like a blend of a trombone and a trumpet together.
But it looks almost like a stretched out French horn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's closer. It looks closer to a French horn than anything.
Yeah, and then there's of course the rhythm section of guitar, bass, and drums, but Huda, before you guys added drums to the band, I mean, most brass bands have a tradition of being in motion. You know, they're marching bands or they're, you know, they play at weddings and funerals and cultures around the world and stuff like that. And you guys did that too,
right? You know, the funny thing about us is when we named ourselves, we had no clue about there being a brass culture.
We were trying to redefine it.
Sid, come closer to this.
We saw that we had a bunch of horns in the band, so we know they're brass instruments, so that's how we got brass.
Yeah, we really got our main start as Hypnotic Brass Ensemble about 2001, 2000, we put out our record. It wasn't really a popular genre. It's way bigger, way more familiar now. We were trying to redefine it, make it cool, take away all the limitations people had in it. People thought, all right, you need the snare. You can't have rhythm. You need a tuba. These certain things, and music is not about any type of limitation. So we put brass in our name to respect the culture before us and to try to change it over, but to exemplify how different than all of those cultures are. You can name about 100 differences than Hypnotic and the average brass New Orleans style. Because a lot of people don't notice, I have to point out. In jazz and in music, there was always New Orleans style we're always familiar with.
Right.
There was a Mississippi style we're familiar with, more from blues, but it eventually turned into jazz. There's a Chicago style of horn playing. Earth, Wind, and Fire and them guys came out of there. A lot of the horn players...
Well, now your dad worked with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, when they were still the Pharaohs. Yeah. So it's a Chicago sound, and we were also reclaiming Chicago sound and trying to make that popular as New Orleans brass.
Yeah. Were you guys aware of bands like Rebirth in New Orleans who were trying, you know, as far back as the 80s to...
I like that music.
To do something.
Tower of Power,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, people used to always compare us to those guys when we first started playing. We used to actually play one of their songs.
Tower of Power?
Or? I think it was Chicago?
Yeah. We played a Chicago tune and another one. Which Power Tower tune? We did play a Power Tower one. But Chicago
So the point is that, you know, you guys were aware of that. Now, as you've toured the world, have you come in contact with, like, Balkan brass bands and South Asian brass bands
and
East African.
Dude claimed his grandfather wrote our song. Like, my grandfather wrote that song. We're like, no, he did not. Y'all remember that?
We actually have a few student bands in different countries that have picked up our songs and played them. Like the teachers, the directors of the music programs in different countries. You know, Ireland, Ukraine, Brazil. It's a few different places where the kids now play our songs in their school criteria.
Wow.
Even American college bands march and play our songs on the field. So
like at halftime.
Yeah.
You'll see a marching band come out and you'll recognize one of your own songs. I think, Sid, you mentioned all these different cultures. You know, there are, Huda, so many different brass band traditions, and it seems like, you know, that might be kind of nourishing for you guys as you travel around. You'd be able to pick stuff up here and there. Has that happened?
It allows us to identify with the different cultures a little better, especially when they can see something that they're familiar with, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Balkan brass band. I think it's La Brass Band, I think the name is. They're huge. You got about 15, 20,000 people rocking to this brass music, and they're young, from 15 to 25. And So, I mean, we were largely influenced by a lot of that music, you know, going to Germany, going to Eastern European countries and seeing them, how they still keep the brass music alive in their culture.
Well, then that's the dance music, too.
Yeah, it's like serious dance music.
And we continue that culture, definitely. Yeah. The ability for the band to be the DJ.
Well, now, it's interesting to think of, you know, there's a rapper who I've liked for a long time. He's not famous, but a guy named Mr. Liff. Who came originally from Barbados, and now he's, I think, based in Philly. But he did a whole record last year with Brass Menagerie, which is a Balkan brass band from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So the idea that these worlds are coming together.
You know, when we started in 2001, we started in 1999, but in 2001, we didn't see brass everywhere. We didn't see it in a lot of places. So one of our predominant mission statements, our goals, was to make brass cool.
Yeah.
And here, you know, 2019, it's super cool. You have an entire genre dedicated to brass music.
Absolutely. And you know, you do have rappers. I mean, you know, Snoop Dogg sampling you guys and all that kind of stuff. We're speaking with the members of the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. And on a cold winter's night, there were a few things I could think of that would heat up a room faster than a 10-piece brass band with rhythm section. Huda, tell me what this next song title, ACF, means.
Well, it's a couple of things. We connected fashion-wise with these guys out of Sweden. ACF, that's a clothing label, Art Comes First. And they have a similar background as us. Like, we were taught by our father, and they were taught tailoring by their father. Hmm. So of kindred spirits, we decided to write a song pretty much an ode to them. They have a West African background, and we're big Fela Kuti Afrobeat fans. So it was just fitting, and the song is ACF.
All right.
Before we start, John, I noticed you brought up the upcoming work, our latest album, and kind of strayed away from it. I'd just like to take this time to say that this song is also on the this song and the song that we played then, Menage, they're both on the upcoming album. Not entitled yet. It's good. I couldn't remember the name because it's like it's a big gumbo stew. We stirring. We still mixing up the flavors. But the latest album will be out soon.
So. All right, keep big gumbo stew in mind for a possible title. That's not too bad. Let's hear the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble in a live performance here in our studio of ACF. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble live here in our studio with a song called ACF, Art Comes First, which will eventually make its way onto the next record by the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. I mentioned earlier their last record, Book of Sound, came out in 2017, so it's about time that you guys had something new to share with us. And
we're letting the label choose.
So Menage, which was the first song, will also be on the new record. Is the record done? Is it essentially?
We're actually waiting on the features that we have. This is the first time that we're doing features on our album.
70%.
Once the features are done, then you know we'll finalize.
Any names you can share?
No, we're not going to name them right now.
Okay,
it's a bit of a surprise.
I had to ask. All right, so we'll look for that later on in the year. In the meantime, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us, man. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Great to meet you, John.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.